ESPN Daily is presented by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
So, Sarah, the FBI is investigating. Police and the NFL are investigating. There's word of a grand jury, although Harden didn't confirm it. And there are 22 women who filed civil lawsuits against Watson. How might the sum total of all of that impact Watson's season and when he ever plays again?
John, the short answer is we don't know. The NFL doesn't know, Deshaun Watson doesn't know, and the Texans don't know.
That's our own Sarah Barshop on Outside the Lines, acknowledging just a few of the unknowns in the disturbing saga of Deshaun Watson. But that number, 22, as in the 22 active lawsuits filed by 22 different women, is why those questions have only just begun. Today, why the FBI is involved in this case, why Watson's accusers say the NFL is asking the wrong questions, and why the superstar quarterback is still showing up to work for a team that he wants to escape. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, August 23rd. This is ESPN Daily. Sarah Barshop, you're our Houston Texans beat writer. Thanks for coming back on ESPN Daily.
Thanks for having me back.
So the Texans won their game Saturday. They beat the Cowboys 20-14. We're going to talk more about how the teams looked in a football context in a bit, but the most notable fact of the entire proceeding, Sarah, is the fact that Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson did not play. Was that surprising to you at all?
No, it wasn't, because right now the Texans are kind of acting, for the most part, that he's not really part of this team in terms of him being on a football field and him playing in a game. And David Culley, when he talks about the quarterbacks, he's mostly talking about the other quarterbacks on the roster. I mean, they really don't talk about Deshaun Watson in a football context. So he didn't play in the first game against the Packers. He didn't play against the Cowboys. And I'd be surprised to see him in the preseason finale against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, that's David Culley, of course, the new head coach of the Texans, Sarah. And yes, Deshaun Watson sat out against the Packers. The Texans had won that preseason game also, for whatever that's worth, 26-7. But Watson and how the team talks about him and his absences, how would you characterize how they do that?
It's very much avoiding the topic. And from the very beginning, David Culley, if he heard Deshaun Watson's name, really kind of deflected the question and would say, not much has changed, or there's nothing new with Watson, even if that wasn't really an applicable answer to the question.
Nothing new on Deshaun. Again, nothing new today on it.
And last week, for the first time, he talked about Watson a little bit more and elaborated on him.
Deshaun's here. Again, every day he's here, he comes in, he works. He does what we ask him to do. And, he's here every day and he's doing fine.
But it was never really in a way of, okay, he's going to play in these games.
So what we talked about with you on this show back in March, Sarah, is still true today, which is that Deshaun Watson faces more than 20 lawsuits filed against him for sexual misconduct and sexual assault. That is the story here. There is a separate criminal investigation that's going on involving several of the same women in those lawsuits. But just to clarify for everybody here, Deshaun Watson still has not been arrested on any criminal charges, and so he is allowed to play and to practice. Is that how all of this works, basically?
That's right. And before training camp, the NFL came out with a statement basically saying, you know, we've done some investigating into this, but we haven't completed our investigation, and Deshaun Watson is eligible to take part in all team activities. And the Texans, first of all, didn't really know if he was going to report to training camp. They weren't sure the night before. They weren't really sure that Saturday night. And when he did report, they still thought maybe the NFL would then put him on the commissioner's exempt list before training camp practices actually start. And that didn't happen.
Yeah, from afar, Sarah, all of this looks not just awkward, but deeply uncomfortable for everyone involved, Deshaun Watson included, his employers included. And I'm just watching from afar, but it's hard to avoid the fact that this is a star quarterback who was very publicly famously wanting out of the Houston Texans. And so the idea that this same quarterback, who is now facing more than 20 lawsuits for sexual misconduct and assault, is showing up and reporting to training camp. I mean, what were the consequences if he didn't do that? Because it sounds like he kind of had to.
Right. Had he not reported, he would have been fined $50,000 per day of training camp. And this is a little different under this new CBA, is that fines can't be forgiven by teams. So we've seen in the past where someone would hold out. They would sign a new contract or the issue was resolved and those fines would be forgiven. That's not the case with Watson. And so he felt the need to show up, so he's not fined.
So here is Deshaun Watson showing up to practice, but doing so kind of sporadically, it seems like. Like he's there some days, he's not there other days, or maybe he is, but he's somewhere that reporters like you cannot see him, maybe. Sarah, just walk me through a day of covering this team. What that's like for you, because you show up on site. What's the scene like in terms of the media gathered here covering this story? What happens?
So day one of training camp, it was a very large media group. I don't know how many people thought he would actually be there and be reporting, but there was media to see whether he would be. And since then, it's been a lot of local media. I think the attention has kind of died down, even though the story has changed a lot during camp. Well, when Cully talks before practice and said he's not going to address whether anyone is practicing, it kind of avoids that question until the next morning of availability. So we talked to David Cully, and then I usually walk over to where I can see the players' entrance. And we can see the players walk down the steps and into the practice field. Keep an eye out for Deshaun Watson. I'll usually take a video or photo as he walks by. I'll post that video and then I'll update Twitter to say whether he is there or not. And then I'll walk over to the other practice field and watch the quarterbacks throw in the start of practice.
And so that's how we get a moment like the one last week, I presume, Sarah, where he snaps at reporters, because obviously the media does have this lingering curiosity about whether he's even going to be there on any given day.
Right. And I think because the story has changed so much, right? It's not like he's been there every single day and there's a video of him walking every single day. That's not the case. We are there to see if he's practicing. Mm. And so as we were recording, he walks by and says, "Why are you guys recording? It's the same thing every day.
Why y'all always filming me every day? It's the same."
And he walked off into the bubble and didn't seem too happy. And that was the first time he had spoken to us at all during training camp and really since the end of last season.
So just to be clear then, it is not the same thing every single day. It's actually quite the opposite as you have experienced it.
Yes, absolutely. And it seems that it's followed some sort of pattern because for week one, he took part in all four practices. Week two, he didn't take part, at least where we were standing, for any of them. The third week, he was there for all four. And then the fourth week, which was last week, he didn't take part in any practices with his teammates, but on Thursday we did see him on the side field stretching and working out with the trainer during practice.
And Sarah, what is he wearing in terms of, is he wearing his uniform? Is he wearing like the red "don't hit me, I'm a quarterback" jersey? What does this whole thing look like?
So those 2 weeks, weeks one and three of training camp, he has been dressed the same way as his teammates, although he has had that red jersey on. When we saw him last Thursday, when he was just working out on the side field, he was just in workout clothes and was not dressed to participate in practice. The one thing Cully did tell us last week was that Deshaun Watson is getting his work done. He said, "Just because you're not seeing it on the field doesn't mean it's not happening."
No, he got his work done yesterday. He just didn't get his work done when we were out here. We had a little different schedule yesterday than we had been, but he got his work in and he's doing fine.
You guys, he's still attending meetings, right?
Yes, he's doing everything just like he has from day one.
And so we talked to his teammates, we've talked to his coaches. Everyone claims it's not a distraction, but I am curious, the longer this has gone on, if it is a distraction, because we are constantly asking and looking to see if Deshaun Watson will be at practice. Watson hasn't spoken at all. I mean, that moment where he spoke to us while we were filming him walking onto the field, that was the only time he said anything. He hasn't talked about his legal situation. He also hasn't addressed the fact that he wants a trade and that he's asked for a trade. That's all been reported. He's never publicly said, "I want to be traded." And I think the first time he does talk, if that happens, it'll be a mix of a lot of questions about the off-field stuff, about his legal situation, but also about why he wants out of Houston.
So let's dig into the off-field stuff here first, because there is a lot to catch up on, Sarah. How would you describe, for those who are not familiar with the details of this story, what Deshaun Watson has been accused of and what's he being sued for? Who are these lawsuits from and what do they say?
So right now there have been 23 lawsuits filed against Watson. One of them was dropped after a judge ruled that the lawsuits needed to be amended with the women's names in April. So there are 22 active lawsuits with allegations ranging from sexual assault to inappropriate behavior. Most of the incidents took place in Houston, but there were others in Georgia and California as well. All of these lawsuits are filed by women who allege that they've massaged Deshaun Watson, but not all of them are licensed massage therapists.
And so the criminal complaints, Sarah, separate from that, what are Houston police looking into?
So last month, Rusty Hardin told our John Barr that 10 women have filed complaints with the Houston Police Department against Watson. Now, the interesting part to me is that 8 of those women were among the 22 plaintiffs who have filed those lawsuits against Watson. That means that 2 of them are women who have gone to the police but have not filed civil complaints.
And now there is this new front in the investigation that's opened up, because in the past few days, the FBI, Sarah, has gotten involved. What do we know about why the federal authorities are talking to people?
So League of Justice is an online sports publication that deals with sports and the law. Tony Buzzi, the plaintiff's attorney, told the League of Justice website that the FBI agents told him that this is in their jurisdiction, one, because Watson reached out via the internet for these massages, mostly on Instagram, and because 2 of the women are from out of state. Now, it seemed that the goal of Rusty Hardin's press conference on Wednesday was to say that the FBI is not investigating Deshaun Watson, but rather they're investigating the allegations made against Watson. But as I was at the press conference, it was kind of hard to take away anything other than those are the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Rusty Hardin seemed to try to make a big deal, Sarah, about how Deshaun Watson cooperating with the FBI was a good thing for his client.
We even let him interview Deshaun. And if y'all can find a lawyer who would let his client talk to the FBI, if the lawyer thought his client had done anything wrong or had any exposure, then I'll be very, very surprised.
What did he say about that specifically? And what does it mean that Deshaun Watson did speak to the FBI?
So he told us that until last Tuesday, he wasn't aware that the FBI was looking into allegations against Watson. He said that conversation was about a plaintiff who is facing allegations of extortion.
In April, the FBI came to us and told us that they were investigating a matter as to whether one of Mr. Busby's clients had committed extortion in the way they were demanding money from Deshaun or what they would do if he didn't pay them. We talked to him. We were not the ones who contacted them. They contacted us.
And what does Tony Buzbee, the plaintiff's attorney here, the attorney for the women involved, what does he say about those extortion allegations?
That same day that Rusty Hardin held that press conference, Tony Buzbee publicly denied that the FBI was looking into those extortion charges.
And so what are you waiting to see next, Sarah, as all of these unknowns are very much floating around in ways that are clearly undefined?
Just like we might not find out the resolution to the FBI involvement unless Deshaun Watson is charged by the FBI, we're also waiting to hear about a potential grand jury indictment. Now, Rusty Hardin said he doesn't even know if evidence is being heard in this particular case by a grand jury. He did say that grand juries in Texas are part of the normal investigative process when prosecutors are dealing with a potential felony. And so as we've learned on this case, you never know what's going to come up. You don't know what Tony Buzbee or Rusty Hardin are going to say to create more news about this. And it's really just a waiting game right now.
All right, Sarah, I still need to ask you about the NFL's investigation and Watson's future with this team after the break.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Sarah, I understand that the NFL had started its own investigation back in March when we first talked to you. And the league's investigation, as I understand it, Sarah, is also the subject of recent reporting by Sports Illustrated, which talked to women who had been questioned by the NFL about Deshaun Watson. What was the criticism from these women as SI reported it? And what did they say about how the NFL's investigation had treated them?
So SI spoke to two of the women who have filed lawsuits against Watson, and they gave detail about what those interviews were like with the NFL. It followed up on the comments Busby had made in May when he said that some of the plaintiffs who had talked to the NFL felt disrespected.
My name is Ashley Solis. Remember that name? It has taken me a long time to get to this point, to come out publicly and speak my truth.
Ashley Solis, who was the first woman to go public with her name and the first woman to file a lawsuit against Watson.
I am a survivor of assault and harassment. Deshaun Watson assaulted and harassed me on March 30th, 2020, in my own home, doing what I love most, massage therapy.
She also said that speaking to the NFL felt worried her words were going to be used against her. She also said that she was asked what she was wearing. Now, an NFL source did tell SI that the reason that question was asked because some of the complaints filed against Watson did detail him requesting women to wear specific things for the massages. Lauren Baxley, who SI also spoke to, said she felt the investigators were patronizing and victim-blaming. So right now, according to Sports Illustrated, 10 of the plaintiffs that are represented by Busby have done their interviews with the NFL. And four plaintiffs have also provided sworn declarations to the NFL. Now, the person who hasn't talked is Deshaun Watson. And that's something Rusty Hardin said is normal because they like to wait until the criminal investigation is concluded.
What do you see happening here anytime soon?
This just isn't going to be quick. Given the FBI investigations and a potential grand jury indictment, it seems unlikely that we would see a move on the football side like him being traded to another team. How could any team trade for him if the FBI hasn't even vetted him yet?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other aspect of this whole story, Sarah. He did not want to play for the Houston Texans. That was what predated all of these allegations being made public, all of these lawsuits now coming into public view. What is the latest on him staying with the team?
So I've been told by people in the organization that they're willing to trade Deshaun Watson if they find the right trade partner for the right price. And that's been the case this entire offseason. The Texans didn't want to trade Watson in January when he first requested this trade, but were open to the fact that a large offer from another team could blow them away and they could make that trade. That hasn't changed. Yes, Watson's legal situation makes this a much more complicated conversation. The Texans are willing to trade Watson, but the question is there another team who is willing to pay that high price given Watson's legal situation right now?
Yeah, it seems like the dynamic on that has kind of flipped, Sarah, if I understand it correctly, because before the Texans were wondering, well, how do we possibly get fair return on a young superstar franchise quarterback like Deshaun Watson? And now the question seems to be, which team in their right mind would want to pay any price for this guy when all of these outstanding and incredibly serious legal questions are still up in the air?
Especially because no one, including the teams who might trade for him, know what Watson's future in the NFL is. They don't know if he can play this season. They don't know if he can play next season. There are so many unknowns with this NFL investigation and the criminal investigation that teams around the league have a lot of questions when it comes to his availability.
So when you're at these practices and you're surveying the field and you look at the characters that are not named Deshaun Watson, who play quarterback, how would you describe that vision? Because what does the Texans quarterback room look like without him right now?
So actually, the day the first lawsuit was filed against Watson, on March 16th, Earlier that day, the Texans signed Tyrod Taylor in free agency. Later, they traded for Ryan Finley, although they have since cut him. They drafted Davis Mills in the third round, which was their first pick of the draft. And then they signed another veteran quarterback, Jeff Driscoll. Now, right now, the Texans are operating as if Tyrod Taylor is the starter and Mills is likely his backup. And that's something that hasn't been kept secret since the start of OTAs.
So what is the mood like on the ground where you are in Houston? Fans and residents of Houston, what's your sense of how they feel about any of this as this story clearly is taking time to unfold?
Well, if you look on Twitter, you will see that it seems most people are not interested in the daily updates about Deshaun Watson, whether he's at practice, whether he's not at practice, whether he's practicing in the bubble, whether he's on the field. It seems like there's not much appetite for that reporting. However, there were 5 training camp practices that were open to fans in Houston, and I didn't hear any booing from fans. And there were a couple chants for Watson, including "We want 4," which is, of course, his jersey number, which is not something I really expected to hear during camp.
Yeah, that alone is disturbing, Sarah, given everything you've outlined. But the idea that there is going to be resolution on this, I mean, do you expect to see Deshaun Watson under center at any point this season? Do you expect him to be around the team as the real regular season kicks off pretty soon here?
I think unless there are criminal charges and that causes the NFL to put him on the commissioner's exempt list before the start of the season, it seems that we're leaning towards a scenario in which he's counted as part of the Texans' 53-man roster and he's a healthy scratch every week. And going into training camp, that's not what I would have expected at all. Last week, Cully said, no, Deshaun Watson's not injured. And that would seem to indicate that they don't plan to stash him on injured reserve where he could be away from the team but not count against a roster spot. And at this point, if the NFL doesn't take action, it seems like he'll have to count as one of those 53 players.
So just to be clear then, when you watch a Texans game this season, on the sideline will be the quarterback with 20-plus outstanding lawsuits pending against him, the guy at the center of this entire news story, the guy that doesn't even want to really be with this team, that guy is still going to be out there standing right on the sideline in public.
I think that's a definite possibility, but we'll see if the Texans decide that is in fact a distraction. And although he is a healthy scratch, although he's on the roster, they ask him to stay away from the stadium.
Sarah Barshop, thank you for your reporting, and I have a feeling we'll be talking again before too long.
Thanks for having me on as the story continues to change.
All right, coming up, why we really need to slow down and acknowledge the fastest woman in the world.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I want you to know. The fastest woman in the world is not the runner you've heard the most about, because you've undoubtedly heard a ton about Sha'Carri Richardson at this point, how the 21-year-old American got suspended for a positive marijuana test after winning the Olympic trials in the 100-meter dash this summer and wound up sparking a giant debate about drugs and race and mental health and rules in general. Richardson did not make it to Tokyo. infamously, but she was everywhere, alternately criticized and almost beatified, including in a Beats commercial made by Kanye. So heading into this weekend's race at the Prefontaine Classic, she was the biggest story again, making her return to the track and taking on the three Jamaican sprinters that won the gold, silver, and bronze medals in Tokyo without her.
Nine talented women on this track right now, but the world thinking this is Richardson versus the Tokyo podium in the women's 100.
But then reality set in, live on NBC.
And a good start for Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce. Thompson Moran, Richardson being left behind, and out in front, the Olympic champion does it again.
10.54. That is the second fastest time ever. Only Flojo has run better.
The name of the woman who blew away the field and is currently breathing down Flojo's neck is Elaine Thompson-Herah. She is a two-time Olympic gold medalist from Jamaica at age 29. Someone who had set the all-time Olympic record in the 100 in Tokyo just this month. And her two teammates, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce and Sharika Jackson, they're no slouches either. They finished in second and third place behind Thompson-Herah on Saturday, exactly as they did in Japan. And while Sha'Carri Richardson ran one of the worst races of her life ultimately, finishing dead last, Elaine Thompson-Herah shaved a massive 0.07 seconds off her Olympic record, bringing her closer to her real goal, as she articulated it after the race, to run faster than the late, great Florence Griffith Joyner, the fastest woman of all time.
Because I ran 10.61, I ran 10.54, so that means I'm close, of course, so there's some more work to do, so it's a target, of course.
Of course, you probably didn't hear that particular interview with Elaine Thompson-Herah because NBC instead put a microphone in front of the American, Sha'Carri Richardson, whose fiery post-race interview immediately and predictably went viral.
Count me out if you want to. Talk all the shit you want because I'm here to stay. I'm not done. I'm the sixth fastest woman in this game ever. And can't nobody ever take that from me. Congratulations to the winners. Congratulations to the people that won. But they're not done seeing me yet. Period.
And Sha'Carri Richardson is right about that part. We are not done seeing her yet. Not even close. But we did blink and miss the real story. Blazing right past us. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.